So, getting into the thick of things, Michelle Obama decided that she wanted to give her speech. Michelle Obama was the star among stars, according to the Democratic Party. And I did. I watched a couple of clips. I watched probably like a minute and a half worth of clips on X yesterday of the crowd just falling in love. And oh my God, they were crying. Oh Jesus, it's Michelle. Yo, I thought that Michael Jackson had entered the arena. I thought that Michael Jackson had entered the arena the way, thank you, Bodega Chew, I'm going to read that super chat shortly. The way that they was admonishing Michelle Obama, I said, this woman must have done something more than change school lunches to something that the kids didn't even actually want. Thank you, Chris Monroe. Thank you, SnapText Fix. Reading those super chats, those cash apps. I said, this woman had to do more than just school lunch. What is it? And I'm asking this question, honest to God. What is it about Michelle Obama as we go through her Democratic National Convention speech? What is it, ladies? Because it's mostly ladies that be crying. I've seen some men over there looking like they was falling out. But they looked a little sassy. They looked a little zesty. What is it about Michelle Obama that you guys absolutely love so much? Anyways, let's go ahead and get into the speech. I love you. I appreciate y'all. Again, hit a like for the YouTube algorithm. Subscribe to the channel. We got a lot of people in here, but I don't see people hitting the like for the algorithm. Let's get into it, y'all.
Please welcome former First Lady Michelle Obama.
Running for president right now, is it Kamala Harris or is it Michelle Obama? I've never seen Kamala Harris at any of her rallies, even when she showed up to the Democratic National Convention. They didn't give Joe Biden this type of ovation. I'm trying to figure out who's running for president. Honest to God, in my heart, I believe that Michelle Obama, regardless of whether you like her or not, because I don't have an opinion on her one way or another, right? Because she's never actually held public office, so that means nothing to me. I honestly believe in my heart that Michelle Obama is the candidate that Democrats wish Kamala Harris was. It's the candidate that Kamala Harris or that the Democrats wish Kamala Harris was.
Okay. We got a big night ahead. Thank you all so much.
All right, so and this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to set the standard. Again, I don't censor people, and I don't want to censor people, and I'm not going to censor people as long as y'all not being overly disrespectful to me. But let me say this, y'all. Y'all got to lay off the transformer accusations. Like, you can't. Come on, man. Come on, man. Like, ad hominem attacks for somebody that never ran or had public office is crazy. She looked just like y'all aunties and y'all mamas and your grandmamas and y'all girlfriends. Let's just be real. Michelle Obama looks just like y'all aunties and y'all grandmamas. So come on, man. Come on, bro. Let's not do that. But let's criticize and evaluate and analyze what she says at the Democratic National Convention instead of attacking her personally. All right? These people.
Okay. Hey. Hello, Chicago. Yeah. All right. Something wonderfully magical is in the air, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to speed this up to 1.25.
You know, we're feeling it here in this arena, but it's spreading all across this country we love. A familiar feeling that's been buried too deep for far too long. You know what I'm talking about.
You know what I'm saying? Look at my man in the audience. He about to cry.
It's the contagious power of hope.
Oh, brother, here we go again. It's the same message. Y'all do realize, and I'm a compare and contrast because, see, I've been told this message before, and some of y'all wasn't outside during this time. You didn't participate in the election process. You didn't really understand the speeches. Hope is the same message that Obama sold when he was running for president. He ran on the message of hope, and it worked. It worked, it worked, it worked, and they're using the same blueprint that they did with Obama. They're using it during Kamala Harris's nomination at the Democratic National Convention for president of the United States of America. They're using the same message. This hope, 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 hope. Whoever the speechwriters was for Obama back then is using the same speechwriters for Michelle Obama during this election.
The anticipation, the energy, the exhilaration of once again being on the cusp of a brighter day. The chance to vanquish the demons of fear, division, and hate that have consumed us and continue pursuing the unfinished promise of this great nation, the dream that our parents and grandparents fought and died and sacrificed for. America, hope is making a comeback.
I will give her this, y'all. And again, we're going to deep dive into this speech. I have not watched the full speech. I will give her this. She knows how to articulate herself incredibly well. That's just a fact. Like, if we're going to be objective about this, when I listen to Kamala Harris speak, because Michelle Obama is not running for president of the United States of America yet. When I listen to Kamala Harris speak, she sounds like a box of rocks. She sounds like the dumb bimbo that was promoted and given her job based off of what it is that she did outside of what she did on the job. Honest to God, Michelle Obama, for all of the things that we can criticize Obama for and whatever it is that you want to criticize her for, you cannot deny that she knows how to articulate herself well. Doesn't mean that she would have good policy. Doesn't mean that she's on the right side of the fence. Doesn't mean that she's actually good at whatever it is that she got going on. She knows how to articulate herself and converse well. If you compare her to a Kamala Harris, it's like night and day, which is one of the reasons why they want her to speak at the convention versus a Hillary Clinton.
To be honest, I am realizing that until recently, I have mourned the dimming of that hope. And maybe you've experienced the same feelings, that deep pit in my stomach, a palpable sense of dread about the future. And for me, that mourning has also been mixed with my own personal grief. The last time I was here in my hometown was to memorialize my mother. The woman who showed me the meaning of hard work and humility and decency. The woman who set my moral compass high and showed me the power of my own voice. Folks.
You got a crazy rock on her hand. Hold on, let me back that up.
And showed me the power of.
They must have really been getting to the money. The Netflix documentaries is doing numbers. Them book sales is popping. She got that crazy rock on her left finger looking like blood diamonds. Give us free. Wouldn't mind that out for her.
Of my own voice.
Folks. Amazing how you get super rich as being a president's wife.
I still feel her loss so profoundly. I wasn't even sure if I'd be steady enough to stand before you tonight. But my heart compelled me to be here because of the sense of duty that I feel to honor her memory.
I want y'all to be objective and evaluate what she says, and let's analyze that. Only focus on the speech. Let's focus on the speech and let's tie it into the things that she says or she does or the history of this country or how he ran the United States of America, or if she's lying about Donald Trump. Let's focus 100%. Let's practice being objective.
And to remind us all not to squander the sacrifices our elders made to give us a better future. You see, my mom, in her steady, quiet way, lived out that striving sense of hope every single day of her life. She believed that all children, all people have value, that anyone can succeed if given the opportunity. She and my father didn't aspire to be wealthy. In fact, they were suspicious of folks who took more than they needed. They understood that it wasn't enough for their kids to thrive if everyone else around us was drowning. So my mother volunteered at the local school. She always looked out for the other kids on the block. She was glad to do
that. Y'all, Lisa said plan on emotions. I agree. But guess what? It's a phenomenal strategy. If you want to galvanize people, if you're trying to get people engaged, especially if you're speaking to a ignorant people, right? Meaning that people that are not informed on policy. And if the goal is to galvanize a group of people to then get motivated to push themselves to the polls, especially when they are not informed on what is best and what's not best for the country, most people don't even have any ability to manage their own budget. How are they going to have a conversation based off of economic policy, which is where you and I come in and we start breaking it down line by line and helping you to understand that our lived experiences is what then galvanizes, or it helps you to understand why this policy is good, why this policy is bad. And so she's great for the Democratic Party, not necessarily for the country, because the person that she's stomping for is Kamala Harris, who is absolutely trash. But when we analyzing this, we're analyzing this objective. That's why we can't go into ad hominem attacks. When you resort to ad hominem attacks, you actually take away from the conversation intelligently, because we're not able to break down exactly what she's doing and why she's doing it. Yes, this is bad for the country, but it's great for the Democratic Party, who wants to try to win an election. So looking at it objectively, we have to remove our emotions from it and how we feel about the person so that we can have an objective analyzation of what is happening. Pay attention, y'all. Ad hominem attacks are weak. Ad hominem attacks are for the weak. We need to break this down and show you why you cannot be galvanized by hope and great speeches, even if they're saying that her speech is great. And let's look at it and evaluate if it's great or not, so that we can then break through it and try to mine through, and we can help educate people on whether or not these are facts, these are fiction, you're just feeling good, you haven't seen her in a long time, this is what their strategy is. Come on, man. Focus, focus, focus. No ad hominem attacks. Just focus. All right?
The thankless, unglamorous work that for generations has strengthened the fabric of this nation. The belief that if you do unto others, if you love thy neighbor, if you work and scrape and sacrifice, it will pay off. If not for you, then maybe for your children or your grandchildren. You see, those values have been passed on through family farms and factory towns, through tree-lined streets and crowded tenements, through prayer groups and National Guard units and social studies classrooms. Those were the values my mother poured into me until her very last breath. Kamala Harris and I built our lives on those same foundational values.
BS. See? They play on your emotions. They draw you in. All of these good words and all of this stuff, because she can. I mean, I'm going to just give her credit. She can speak. And then she draw in and she put Kamala Harris into that conversation. Nobody was thinking about Kamala Harris. Everybody is focused on her speech, and they forgot why they was there in the first place, and it's to make sure that they give Kamala Harris the nod. This is less about Kamala Harris and more about whoever it is that's standing on a podium. This is less about Kamala Harris and more about who's standing on the podium. This just shows you that Kamala Harris is 100% a DEI hire. She was given to you. She is not anything that anybody wanted in the first place.
Even though our mothers grew up an ocean apart, they shared the same belief in the promise of this country. That's why Her mother moved here from India at 19. It's why she taught Kamala about justice, about the obligation to lift others up, about our responsibility to give more than we take. She'd often tell her daughter, don't sit around and complain about things, do something. So, with that voice in her head, Kamala went out and she worked hard in school, graduating from an HBCU, earning her law degree at a state school. And then she went on to work for the people, fighting to hold lawbreakers accountable, strengthening the rule of law, fighting to get folks better wages, cheaper prescription drugs, a good education, decent health care, child care, elder care. From a middle-class household, Kamala worked her way up to become Vice President of the United States of America.
All cap. 100% cap. 100% cap. 100% cap. Worked her way up to being Vice President of the United States of America. See, listen, no salacious speech, nothing that you can ever say to me is ever going to convince me that this woman was not given to you. She didn't even have to win a primary. She didn't even have to win a primary. If you look at Tulsi Gabbard and what she did to her in 2019, you would have a completely different view and perspective of this. They was given to us. They stole this. They tried to have election interference with making sure, man, listen, bro. No speech, nothing that you can say is ever going to convince me differently. There's nothing that she can say, and it's no speaker that can get up here that can convince me that Kamala Harris is the best choice for the United States of America at all.
My girl, Kamala Harris, is more than ready for this moment. She is one of the most qualified people ever to seek the office of the presidency. She is one of the most dignified. A tribute to her mother, to my mother, and to your mother, too. The embodiment of the stories we tell ourselves about this country. Her story is your story. It's my story. It's Cap. The story of the vast majority of Americans trying to build a better life.
Cap.
Look, Kamala knows, like we do, that regardless of where you come from, what you look like, who you love, how you worship, or what's in your bank account, we all deserve the opportunity to build a decent life. All of our contributions deserve to be accepted and valued. Because no one has a monopoly on what it means to be an American. No one. Kamala has shown her allegiance to this nation, not by spewing anger and bitterness, but by living a life of service and always pushing the doors of opportunity open to others. She understands that most of us will never be afforded the grace of failing forward. We will never benefit from the affirmative action of generational wealth.
Here come the Trump attacks.
Business or choke in a crisis, we don't get a second, third, or fourth chance. If things don't go our way, we don't have the luxury of whining or cheating others to get further ahead. No. We don't get to
look at this shit. I'm sorry. Sorry. Shout out to the churches and the kids that's watching this.
Or cheating others to get further ahead. No.
What is happening right now? What is going on in the United States of America? Honestly, what is happening right now? Are y'all not concerned? Are y'all not concerned? Jesus Christ. We literally, in every sense of the word, we were living the best lives. From 2016 to 20, life was good. Life was good.
We don't get to change the rules, so we always win. If we see a mountain in front of us, we don't expect there to be an escalator waiting to take us to the top. No.
What does that even mean?
We put our heads down. We get to work. In America, we do something. her entire life. That's what we've seen from Kamala Harris. The steel of her spine, the steadiness of her upbringing, the honesty of her example, and yes.
What the hell is the steel of her spine?
The joy of her laughter and her light. It couldn't be more obvious. Of the two major candidates in this race, only Kamala Harris truly understands the unseen labor and unwavering commitment that has always made America great. Now, unfortunately, we know what comes next. We know folks are going to do everything they can to distort her truth.
Uh-oh, here comes, hey, now she's using the Eminem tactic? Is this the 8 Mile tactic? Is this the Eminem 8 Mile tactic? I am an Uncle Tom. I did live in the basement with my mom. And did F my girl. I'm still screaming here, screaming F the free world. But I know something about you. You went to Cranbrook. That's a private school. Oh, is this the 8 Mile? And we know what's going to come next. They're going to attack us, girl. But it's because we great and they nothing. Come on.
My husband and I sadly know a little something about this. For years, Donald Trump did everything in his power to try to make people fear us. See, his limited, narrow view of the world made him feel threatened by the existence of two hardworking, highly educated, successful people who happen to be black.
Now you're playing a black... Dog, they plan every single spade in the deck. They plan every single spade in the deck. They plan the two of spades, the three of spades. They came back. They hit you with the, because they wanted to make sure you ran out of spades, right? And because they got every spade in the deck, they hit you with the jack, the queen, the king, the ace, the little joker, the big joker. They plan every single, they plan the race card. They played the hope card. They playing the victim card. They playing the he's out of touch, he's too rich card. They playing the, oh my God, we're middle class card. She came with a fully loaded clip. I'll be on that. Shh. I got a fully loaded clip. I got a fully loaded clip. I'll be on that. Now they're hitting them with the rape. They got the black people and the coloreds galvanized and they feeling good about themselves all of a sudden. Are we at a Missy concert? Or are we at the Democratic National Convention?
Wait. I want to know. Who's going to tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs?
They are literally just going crazy over any... It don't matter what she say. They gonna say, they gonna go crazy.
It's his same old con. His same old con. Doubling down on ugly, misogynistic, racist lies as a substitute for real ideas and solutions that will actually make people's lives better. Look, because cutting our health care, taking away our freedom to control our bodies, the freedom to be...
Let's be very clear. Taking away the freedom to control our bodies is a Planned Parenthood ban. Multiple Planned Parenthood, and this is verified. I had to go and do my own research before I started having these conversations with y'all today. There are Planned Parenthood, because I want y'all to be look at the difference between something that looks good, a speech that's crafted in a way that makes you feel galvanized and hopeful. So the reality is that at the Democratic National Convention, they have Planned Parenthood bans out there offering free services to men and women. Free services to both men and women. And that's what they define as the freedom to control your body. Does that also include what's happening over in California? Oh, you're not familiar with what's happening in California? The laws that Gavin Newsom just signed into legislation? You know, the ones where kids can go to school and they can identify as what they want, but it's restricted from the teachers and the actual governing body over those kids to be able to contact the parents and say, hey, man, your kid is identifying as a girl and they really a boy. They coming in here and they changing their clothes and they living in however way they want to live. They kissing in the girl's bathroom. That's what the freedom to control your body means. See, they're not going to say the A word or Planned Parenthood. They're going to say, and he wants to take away the freedom to control your body. Beware of sheep's and beware of wolves in sheep's clothing, y'all.
Become a mother through IVF like I did. Those things are not going to improve the health outcomes of our wives, mothers, and daughters. Shutting down the Department of Education, banning our books, none of that will prepare.
Banning our books? Listen, y'all got to, and see, this is why it's so much better to be objective and to divert away from ad hominem attacks, because when you're educated and you're informed, you can start to break down these speeches and you get past all of the hoopla and the claps and the applauses and all of that stuff. None of that matters. When she says banning our books, there are books that should not be in the library. There are books that should not be teaching kids about gender affirmation and transformations and stuff that the parents does not authorize them to be able to be taught inside of the schools. Teach them math, science, and geography. They don't need to know about gender affirmation. When they say banning our books, and this is how you know the devil is real. I'm just going to tell y'all for real. I know y'all love Michelle Obama. I think that she's a great orator. I think that she's phenomenal. She's educated and she's the person that the Democratic Party won. But if we're looking at this objectively and we can break down these speeches, and I'm going to go to Obama's speech next. That's up next. It says it right there at the bottom of the screen, right there. If we look at these speeches, they want to continue to pervert your children. Your children is at stake. The war isn't for you. The war is for your children. Obama's lasting legacy and the thing that he's advocating for the most today as a person that's probably helping to control the White House right now is what it is that your children is going to convert over to and what bathroom they can go into. Wake up, man. Get over your rock star. I love her. She wrote a book. She went on tour. She changed kids' school lunches. Get over that and start looking at the facts. It's easy to be distracted when you got a bunch of applauses and you can't deep dive into the context of what the speeches are. Forget the ad hominem attacks, because it doesn't matter what we think about her. What matters is what she's saying to impact people, to try to galvanize them to get to the polls to vote on something that's not in their best interest.
Our kids for the future, demonizing our children for being who they are and loving who they love. Look, that doesn't make anybody's life better.
The likes is a little anemic. The likes is anemic. Harold Johnson says, Anton, I need that pink rabbit hoodie. Where can I get one? I got that in Japan, big dog. I got that in Tokyo. You got to travel to Tokyo to get that. The likes is anemic, y'all. Do y'all hear what these demons are saying? Look, man, I don't care how much you liked Obama. I don't care how much you like Michelle Obama. These people are preaching a demonic speech to y'all, and it sounds good. And the devil is not going to show y'all the devil. The devil is not going to take off his hood. The devil is not going to show you himself. He's going to present himself in a way that's appealing to you, because you don't have to reject temptation from something that you don't like. These people are demonic. All of you liberals that's in the chat that don't like what I'm saying right now, think about your children. And think about your children as young children, as elementary school, middle school, and high school kids whose brains are not even fully developed yet. And then take this part of the speech and tell me that this makes sense for you.
Our kids for the future. Demonizing our children for being who they are and loving who they love. Look, that doesn't make anybody's life better.
Think about your children. Think about your children. Get over how you feel about the person and get over your party affiliation and your dedication to identity politics, and think about your children and tell me in your heart of hearts that you think that this is best for America right now. At the end of the day, sit there and tell me that you think that this is what's best for America right now. Think about your, forget you. Think about your children and tell me that this makes sense for America. Y'all better be careful.
Instead, it only makes us small. And let me tell you this, going small is never the answer.
Let me get my
going small
I gotta get
is
comfortable.
The opposite
this gonna be a
of what
stream.
We teach our kids. Going small is petty, it's unhealthy, and quite frankly, it's unpresidential. So, why would any of us accept this from anyone seeking our highest office? Why would we normalize that type of backward leadership? Doing so only demeans and cheapens our politics. It only serves to further discourage good, big-hearted people from wanting to get involved at all. America, our parents taught us better than that, and we deserve so much better than that. That's why we must do everything in our power to elect two of those good, big-hearted people. There is no other choice than Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. No other choice. Embrace this renewed sense of hope. Let us not forget the despair we have felt. Let us not forget what we are up against. Yes, Kamala and Tim are doing great now. We're loving it. They're packing arenas across the country. Folks are energized. We are feeling good. But remember, there are still so many people who are desperate for a different outcome, who are ready to question and criticize every move Kamala makes, who are eager to spread those lies, who don't want to vote for a woman, who will continue to prioritize building their wealth over ensuring that everyone has enough. So no matter how good we feel tonight or tomorrow or the next day, this is going to be an uphill battle. So folks, we cannot be our own worst enemies. No. See, because the minute something goes wrong, the minute a lie takes hold, folks, we cannot start wringing our hands. We cannot get a Goldilocks complex.
You mean like the lie that they continue to promote with Project 2025? I got you.
Complex about whether everything is just right. And we cannot indulge our anxieties about whether this country will elect someone like Kamala instead of doing everything we can to get someone like Kamala elected. And Tim, they have lived amazing lives. And I am confident that they will lead with compassion, inclusion, and grace.
Inclusion. But inclusion.
They are still only human. They are not perfect. And like all of us, they will make mistakes. But luckily, y'all, this is not just on them. This is up to us, all of us, to be the solution that we seek. It's up to all of us to be the antidote to the darkness and division. Look, I don't care how you identify politically, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, or none of the above. This is our time to stand up for what we know in our hearts is right. To stand up not just for our basic freedoms, but for decency and humanity, for basic respect, dignity and empathy, for the values at the very foundation of this democracy. It's up to us to remember what Kamala's mother told her. Don't just sit around and complain. Do something. So if they lie about her, and they will, we've got to do something. If we see a bad poll, and we will, we got to put down that phone and do something. If we start feeling tired, if we start feeling that dread creeping back in, we got to pick ourselves up, throw water on our face, and what? We only have 2.5 months, y'all, to get this done. Only 11 weeks to make sure every single person we know is registered and has a voting plan. So, we cannot afford for anyone, America, to sit on their hands and wait to be called. Don't complain if no one from the campaign has specifically reached out to you to ask you for your support. There is simply no time for that kind of foolishness.
Why is that an applause worthy thing? All right, so we got the gist of the speech. There's no need to continue to go on this path. Here's my question, right? Why do they want your kids so bad? That's my main question, because that is the leg that they're standing on. They're standing on the fact of it's two things that the Democratic Party is basically hanging their hat on and they're hinging this on in order to win this election. And it's two things that absolutely bother my soul more than anything that has ever bothered my soul. Because, look, we know that people is out here suffering. We know that they're getting laid off. We know that they can't afford groceries. We know that their rent is too high. We know that immigration is to this country. We beat that down, and we're going to continue to hammer that point down so that you don't forget what it is that you experienced over the last 3.5 years. But it's two things that bothers my soul. And they're trying to stand on this moral high ground. But the two things that they advocating for is the very things at your core as a person, as a human being, that we should not be advocating for. Why are they so gung-ho on letting people do some of the worst things to their body and participate in an abortion, as far as having the federal government participate in how it is that you control what's going on in your body and being responsible, accountable for who it is that you open up your legs to? And then two, why they after your kids? Why is the Democratic Party after children so bad? I don't understand it. What is this obsession? They ain't got no other leg to stand on or no other thing to hang their hat on? Let me read the super chats.